Our regularly scheduled Olympic-themed podcast will not be heard this week, or any week. The 2020 Tokyo Olympics were a complete disaster, and no one cares. Please enjoy this hastily put-together episode of Mysteries of the Deep. We will resume our regular programming soon. Thank you.
The Deep Dive Podcast presents
Mysteries of the Deep.
Hello, divers. I'm Tom Feeney, amateur acupuncturist and self-loathing narcissist. This is a side project of the Deep Dive Podcast where myself and my co-host, Manda, take a look at some of the more obscure offerings available on streaming media. This week, we'll dive into the mysterious death of an actor whose bizarre real life nearly surpassed the many odd roles he was asked to play. Mysteries of the Deep presents Whatever Happened to the Star of Eraserhead? It's considered one of the strangest films ever made and launched the career of one of the strangest film directors of all time. Eraserhead was the feature film debut of writer-director David Lynch, the man behind such deliberate strangeness as Twin Peaks, Wild at Heart, Lost Highway, and Blue Velvet. Other than being completely insane, surreal, and anxiety-inducing, these films had something else in common. An actor named Jack Nance. Born Marvin John Nance in 1943, the man who would become known as Eraserhead got bit by the acting bug while a student at North Texas State University in the late 1960s. Nance would soon head to California to pursue dreams of becoming a working actor. After landing the lead role of American patriot Thomas Paine in a stage production based on his life, Jack Nance got noticed by Hollywood producers. He was offered a few TV commercials and a guest spot on an episode of Hawaii Five-0, but wanted to remain with the stage production. Now, as the stage play winded down, so did the offers for other roles. Nance was struggling to find work and lived off welfare checks. And it was during this rough patch that the director of the Thomas Paine play introduced Nance to a friend of his, a young aspiring filmmaker named David Lynch. Both being somewhat eccentric characters, the pair got along famously and began a 25-year-long working relationship. That relationship started with a 1977 black and white experimental film.
I thought I heard a stranger. We've got chicken tonight. Strangest damn things. They're man-made. Little damn things. Smaller than my fist. They're new. I'm Bill.
Hello. I'm Henry.
Henry's at LaPelle's factory.
Well, printing's your business, huh? Plumbing's mine. 30 years. I've seen this neighborhood change from pastures to the hellhole it is now. I put every damn pipe in this neighborhood.
Yeah, Bill.
The people think pipes grow in their home. Well, they sure as hell don't. Look at my knee. Look at my knee.
Bill.
Are you hungry?
Bill.
For the uninitiated, Eraserhead is like some surreal fever dream. Dark, disturbing, and filled with imagery no one had ever before put on film. It's almost as if a movie camera somehow were able to capture someone's actual nightmare. Nance plays Henry Spencer, who lives in a dank, industrial city in a filthy studio apartment with a woman named Mary X. The two have, child may not be the right word, but their offspring is something that might be the most revolting thing in the movie. I can't really describe what happens in this film, partly because I couldn't do justice to the imagery with words, and partly because I really don't want to. I mean, if you've seen Eraserhead, you understand completely where I'm coming from. Now, the film ultimately became a cult classic, helping to usher in the late 1970s midnight movie craze, along with films like The Rocky Horror Picture Show and John Waters' Pink Flamingos. After Eraserhead, though, acting jobs were few and far between, and Nance's already existing problems with alcohol got much worse. Now, Lynch came calling in 1984 and gave Nance a bit part in his 1984 mega-flop adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction epic Dune. And that did little to help Nance with his personal struggles, and he left Los Angeles and went back to Texas. Now, his alcoholism might have killed him then and there, but his friend called him back to appear in another film, David Lynch's Blue Velvet.
Beneath the surface of the perfect small town, a dark world awaits.
Are you the one that found the ear?
You know anything?
Well, one name that keeps coming up is this woman, Singer.
I'll bet someone could learn a lot by getting into that woman's apartment.
I don't know if you're a detective or a pervert.
It's for me to know and you to find out.
What are you doing in my apartment?
I close my eyes.
Then are I you a bad boy?
Away.
Hey! Who is this?
You're
like me.
Don't be a good neighbor to her.
While filming Blue Velvet, Nance met someone who would forever alter the course of his life. An actor who also suffered with addiction and managed to overcome his own demons. That was Dennis Hopper. The star of Easy Rider, Apocalypse Now, and Speed had battled drug and alcohol addiction for most of his adult life, until he found a treatment program that worked to get him clean. Jack Nance was at the end of his rope. He knew that Hopper had been through a similar journey and came out the other side. He begged Hopper for help. He got it. Things began looking positive after that. Nance completed the program and went back to acting, even getting a part in the 1988 film Colors, directed by Dennis Hopper. And David Lynch came calling again with the role in the Nicolas Cage, Laura Dern film Wild at Heart. After that, Lynch cast him in a role that would provide Nance with the steadiest role he would ever have, and one of the most memorable lines in TV history.
Lucy? Lucy, this is Pete Martell. Lucy, put Harry on the horn.
Sheriff, it's Pete Martell up at the mill.
Morning, Pete. Harry.
She's dead. Wrapped in plastic.
Now, whoa, hold on. Hold on a second, Pete. Where? You stay right there. I'm on my way.
For two seasons on the ABC drama Twin Peaks, Nance played Pete Martell, the manager of the Packard Sawmill. Pete discovered the body of young Laura Palmer, which started the central mystery of the show. Jack Nance also married for the second time. His new wife had ties to Hollywood history. Kelly Van Dyke, who Nance met while he was in rehab, was the daughter of actor Jerry Van Dyke, who you might remember from the ABC sitcom Coach. And she was also the niece of comedy legend Dick Van Dyke. However, not long after their wedding, she began using again. Jack Nance stuck by her through her relapse, which made it incredibly hard for him to stay sober. Ultimately, he made the decision to leave the relationship to save himself from being tempted to drink again. On the set of the film Meatballs 4, where Nance had the lead role, his wife threatened to kill herself while they were talking on the telephone. Here's what happened next in Nance's own words.
I said, "I love you, Kelly." And she said, "I want you to listen to me kill myself." And I did.
Kelly Van Dyke hung herself on November 17, 1991. She was 4 months pregnant. Jack Nance stayed sober for 2 more years, then began drinking again. Heavily. So heavily that even when he did get the occasional movie role, he was so drunk he could barely get through it. On an early Sunday morning in December of 1997, Jack Nance stumbled towards a Winchell's donut shop near his home in Pasadena, California. There were some young men loitering outside the shop. Nance, drunk and belligerent, began mouthing off at the group. One of the men struck Nance in the head, breaking his glasses, giving him a black eye. The following day, Jack Nance died. He was found by a friend who stopped by to check in on him. According to the coroner, death was a result of a subdural hematoma due to blunt force trauma to the head. His death was ruled a homicide. The case of Jack Nance's death remains open to this day. No witnesses, no suspects, and no reason to expect this case will ever be solved. Jack Nance left us with some great performances, but sadly, also left behind a cautionary tale of Hollywood's darker side. Thanks for listening. If this is the first time you've heard this podcast, check out our past episodes and subscribe so you don't miss a single one. And we want to hear from you. Drop us a line at thedeepdivepodcast@gmail.com or on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter feeds. Now you can find links to all of those on our website, thedeepdivepodcast.com. Clips used in this podcast are meant for educational purposes only and not to infringe on existing copyrights. Mysteries of the Deep is a production of Automaton Studios.